Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A Christian who doesn't pray is just as impossible as a living person without a pulse. Christians will pray. Faith will want to talk to God. Prayer does not make you a good person. It does not earn you any favors with God. It does not even ensure that God will give you what you have asked for. But prayer belongs to the life of sanctification. And as with all things with sanctification, we can both increase in it and also decrease if we are caught unawares. The Lord is pleased with the prayer of his children. And so grow in your prayers. Pray more often, pray more deeply, and yes, even pray more correctly. Not every prayer is equal. All Christian prayer is heard by God, but they're not all the same. You can pray for a good parking spot at the supermarket. You can pray for God to increase your wealth, or as we usually pray, increase our stability. You can also pray for God's name to be made holy and for his kingdom to come. The more that you hear the word of God, the more your prayers will be conformed to the word of God, because the more your heart will be captivated by the word of God. And so prayer does not begin in your heart. Prayer begins in the Word of God. Prayer is not built upon our needs, our wants, our desires, our problems, or our life experiences. Prayer is built upon the Word of God. Too often we pray only when we want something from God, as if he were some special genie that could grant our wish. Now, indeed, we should pray. Our Lord teaches us to call upon him in the day of trouble and promises to deliver us. And he, in fact, even sends troubles and difficulties into our lives to awaken faith. So we pray more often and more clearly. But if that is our only time that we pray, then I'm afraid we unwittingly act as if prayer begins in our hearts. Prayer must be rooted in the Word of God. It's nothing more than repeating back to God the promises he has made to us. So as a child learns to speak by listening to his parents speak, so also we learn how to pray by listening to our God speak to us. As a child learns what his needs and desires are, and they're not all the same, but as he learns what his big needs and great desires are, from his parents, so also we learn what our deep needs and desires are by listening to the Word of God. God speaks to us and we regurgitate back to him. Thus we learn what to say and how to say it. We learn what our needs are and where the solution is found. We even learn what our goals and our dreams and our hopes are, and how God will fulfill them. We learn what we should pursue and what we should avoid. We learn who is our help and who brings evil. And so prayer does not come first, but God's word comes first, and our prayers are built upon that. We are taught, and so we speak. The Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Do not think that's a hyperbole. Do not think that that is somehow an unattainable goal. I think that we define prayer too narrowly as folding our hands and bowing our heads. But it's far more than that. When we read and meditate on the Word of God, we are praying, because we are recognizing that only God can enlighten our hearts and minds by his Word. Why else would we read the Word? Why else would we meditate upon it? Asking questions about the scriptures is to pray, even if we are talking to someone else, because God alone gives wisdom and insight in his word. Discussing the word of God is also to pray. And so we pray our hymns, We pray when we discuss God's word. We pray the liturgy, not just some of it, but all of it. We pray as we ponder Christmas, Good Friday, or Easter, or any other event in the life of our Lord. But we must still expand prayer even more. We pray as we engage in the world. Again, prayer must be anchored in the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul teaches us about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he concludes with these words: "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit." So how do you wield the sword of the Spirit? By praying. How do you use the Word of God? Not to win an argument or a debate, but by praying. We repeat back to God what he has told us. And then the devil flees, for he cannot remain where a heart cheerfully trusts in God. And then the world makes a little bit more sense, for he is the Savior of all, who wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we also have answers to the so-called secular questions in this world. Why did that shooting happen? Why do abortions happen? Why war? Why peace? Why prosperity? Why so much? Why so much political anger? What am I to make of all of this? How am I to handle inflation and shortages? Or what is my responsibility and purpose in this life as I move from childhood through my teen years and into adulthood? Why am I even here in the first place? These are all prayers, whether we are folding our hands and bowing our heads or not, because there is only one who can give us the right answer and understanding, and that is Christ. So we order our life around the Word of God, which means the questions and our pondering and our viewing of this world is all done in the Word of God. Now, God does not speak to us in our minds or in our hearts, but he speaks to us through our ears, which means it comes externally from outside of us. So do not think your feelings are God's answer to your prayer. Do not confuse your decision with God's will. Woe to the one who comes to conclusions apart from the Word of God. You ask God your questions in prayer, and he answers you through a mouth. Perhaps through the mouth of a pastor, or through the mouth of a parent, or through the mouth of a government official or a friend. For we are to see all of these answers as coming from God himself, provided, of course, they are in line with the Word of God. And so there are no secular questions and there are no religious questions, but all things deal with Christ and with the truth that is his. We are not free to manipulate that truth to pursue our own agendas or ideas, for that would not be the answer of God, but an answer from the one who opposes God, namely the devil. So you talk to him and he speaks to you through the authorities that he has set up over you. So hear their voice as the voice of God. Ask them questions. Ask about this world. Ask about yourself. Ask about policies and law and rule and culture. And where their answer agrees with the Word of God, then God be praised. Where it does not, well, we must obey God rather than men. For our answer, our God, to whom we pray, is but one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ says that my sheep know my voice. So learn his voice more, so you might know what he says to you. Chew on the scriptures. Search them, grow in them, mull them over again and again and again. The more that you grow in the Word of God, the more your prayers will increase, both in quantity and in quality. And perhaps then, we will not pray so much for stability in life, but we will pray recognizing that God would never lead us astray. For we know that he says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and he has blessed us with so much. And it can be such a great danger to us. And perhaps then, perhaps we won't pray so much for our children to be successful in this world, but we will pray for them to have a family. And perhaps, just perhaps, we won't ask God so much for the removal of pain and war and suffering and disease, but we will pray for him to return. We will have set our mind on things above where Christ is seated, as the apostle instructs us. We will have moved from the simple things of life to the great things, recognizing how God ultimately answers our prayers. Recognize that prayer is not a harsh command by God. Yes, it is there in the second commandment. But this is a gracious invitation from your God. He knows all things, and yet still he invites you to come to him with whatever is on your mind. Yes, the great things, but also the small things. Ask for a nice parking spot. Ask about your troubles and your frustrations and your worries. Not one of them falls on a deaf ear. Even your groans and your sighs are answered by him. He even gathers up all of your tears. Not one drop falls to the ground unanswered. This is not how your life was supposed to be, and he knows it. He knows what that look on your face means. He knows what your tired eyes show, and he answers. He answers in Jesus' name. You ask in Christ's name, and he answers in Jesus. For in Jesus and in Jesus alone, all of your needs are met, and your joy will flourish. And so ask, and you will receive, maybe right now, but always at the last. And then your joy will be full. So ask your questions. Give thanks to God for what he has taught you. Offer your prayers. Express your concerns and your frustrations. But then listen as he speaks to you. He probably will not tell you why this or that happened in this world. He probably will not tell you what your future has. But he will tell you to look at that serpent suspended on Calvary, bearing your sin, suffering your curse. Would that we only believe there is no greater answer than that. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.